wants to really touch our hearts and touch our lives in a very special way. And so I'd like to, before I give you the passage to turn to, I'd like to pray and believe that God will really minister to us here. So Pastor Shane, I know pastors do everything, but can you also pray for me too? All right, please.
Father, I thank you for your presence so very much alive.
I agree.
Holy Spirit, move in the midst of this congregation and have your way.
Amen. Thank you, Shane. Praise God. 1 Corinthians, please. The first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5. In chapter 5, verses 15, 16, and 17, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. I've often thought that that's really the call of a pastor, is that there may be 10,000 instructors and teachers and those who are mentoring. But Paul says, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. So my message is going to come out of verse 17. Pardon? Excuse me. I'm in chapter 4. You know, I heard somebody talking over here. Have you been talking for the last 5 minutes? All right. So I'm changing my message to confusion in the church. I have no idea where this comes from. I don't know. First of all, I don't know how God deals with me in this. Secondly, my wife, she puts up with it all the time. And now you. I am so impressed. So thank you so much. Honey, smile, please. I'm going to start again on verse 15. Now, if you were already there, too bad. I'm going back. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Am I in the right place? Wherefore, I beseech you that you follow me, be followers of me. For this cause I have sent, now my message will be in verse 17 and following. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So for the sake of the impact of this verse, let's read it one more time. For this cause I have sent unto you, to the Corinthians now, Timotheus. This is Paul's marvelous young son in the faith, and he says, who is my beloved son? And he's faithful in the Lord. Isn't it amazing that a young man can be faithful in the Lord too? Who shall bring you into remembrance. Now listen to this. Timotheus is going to bring them into remembrance or remembrances of my ways, which are in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, that's pretty heavy responsibility for Timothy, because what Paul is saying is, I'm sending him to you. He's going to come to you, and literally what you're going to discover is he is going to bring remembrances of the things I have taught you. And all of the things that I've taught you, and he's also defined it this way, right there about the last two sentences. He says, all the remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, say in Christ. So it wasn't so much like he's saying, I want you to remember that I was this energetic, or I like to fish at all the rivers outside the city or whatever. He's not saying that. He's saying, I want you to know I'm going to send Timothy to you and he'll teach you in remembrance the things that I have taught you in Christ. So that means that they have already gotten it. But now Paul is saying, you're going to go back in remembrance and learn again and hear again and have it brought to you what I have already given you once when I was there. That's pretty amazing. I like this verse because it really deals with spiritual relationship, but the remembrances. What he's saying is Timothy is going to be a remembrance, a remembrancer. He's going to bring remembrances back into the house and to the faith of the Corinthian church. I was reading, it's not long ago, and as I was reading what I was reading, I was just thinking about ministering, and sometimes when I do, I always try to think, does this fit for down the road, does it fit for in the future, whatever. And so I had this thought come to me, because at that point, I began to realize I'm thinking about something that I just don't think about very often. And that's remembrance. I don't really think about remembering. You know, I think God is aware of all things. How many believe that? But starting with the early chapters of Genesis, here's what's interesting. Starting with the early chapters of Genesis, if I was to take you back in my Bible to Genesis itself, from the early chapters in Genesis, the scriptures often speak of specific objects of God's attention. And they sometimes do it, of course, by bringing out the Hebrew. And so I just want to give you this. Now, there's a Hebrew word that is ZKR. Now, that sounds like a motorbike, doesn't it? ZKR or something like that. But the Hebrew word for remember is ZKR, which is sometimes rendered be mindful. So in other words, when you see that in Hebrew, ZKR, you realize it's talking to you about remember, and it's also saying, as you're remembering this, be mindful. Be mindful. So let's just go back. When I was talking about these sweethearts, these dear little sisters in the Lord that were in this church for a lot longer than I ever was. I don't know how many pastors had the privilege to pastor them. What I'm saying is go back and remember not just who they are, but what they were and how they ministered to their families and homes and how they ministered to their husbands, and remember how faithful they were. So what that's saying is, as you remember, you're being mindful of who they were and what they did. Do you understand that? And so really, being mindful is an extension, in a Hebrew sense, of remembering. Now, I'm not trying to be deep and I'm not trying to overwhelm you. But I want you to understand that in Genesis 8:1, don't turn there, just listen to this. In Genesis 8:1, it says that Elohim, or God, Jehovah God, was mindful of something. In other words, the word ZKR came to God's mind in the forefront. Not that God had forgotten, and not that God didn't care. But it appears that sometimes that God, in what he's doing, he has things that are in the forefront and other things that he's preparing and working. Can you ever imagine to try to figure out the mind of God? In Genesis 8:1, here's what happened. We read this. It says that God was mindful of Noah and every animal. He was mindful of Noah and every animal and every beast that was with him in the ark. Now, I don't know. I'm not trying to be silly or to tell you that this is how it worked. But it almost leads me to feel like already what had happened outside of the ark, God was no longer mindful. Because what had happened outside of the ark, the violence and the rebellion and the evil and the wickedness that had followed from Adam's race up to this point, nearly over about almost 1600 years, this violence, it was almost like God was no longer mindful. But he was very mindful of what was in the ark. He was very mindful of what was taking place. And he remembered the relationship of 120 years prior when he came and he appeared in voice and in heart to Noah. And he said to him, he said, son, he said, I cannot strive with man. I can't do it anymore. And he says, I am going to send a flood, and the flood will come and it'll destroy the earth with water. And he said, I want you because I have found righteousness in your life. I want you to take your family and I want you to build me an ark. There was probably zero blueprints anywhere on planet Earth for an ark. But God had a plan. And so what it says in Genesis 8:1 is that God remembered Noah and every living creature, clear down to the smallest of creatures in that ark. When I continued to march along just a little bit, but when I march along through the book of Genesis, I come to Genesis 9. And now I see something else. I see Elohim, or God, the Father, say to Noah, he says, do you see that bow, son? And Noah and the family all, they knew. And they saw this most incredible rainbow that was stretched across under the heavens now in this atmospheric condition. And they were noticing now the moisture and the drops of rain and things that would continue to come. And God said to Noah, here's what he said. He says, I want you to know that this is a rainbow. And he says, I want you to remember my covenant between me and you and every living soul among all flesh, so that never again shall waters come as a deluge to destroy the earth. And he says, when I put a bow in the clouds, he says, I will see it and I will remember what I have told you. I made a covenant to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in Genesis 8, God remembered what he had done. He put 8 people of righteousness and all of the animals, so the animal and probably the insect kingdom and so on. When things were over, they could continue to populate the earth again. God remembered. And so he mused and meditated. He put himself in a place. He was mindful of what was going on in the ark. And bet you a bottom dollar that I'm telling you there wasn't anything that could destroy that ark, because God was mindful of what was happening. When it was all finished and the ark was now upon the mountains of Ararat, God said, son, this is a rainbow. And he says, every time you see that rainbow, I want you to remember, because I am going to remember that I will never destroy the earth again with water. I know what you're thinking. Pastor, you are in deep water. Where are you going? Stay with me. Amen? Stay with me. How many know I can get out of tight jams? All right. Thanks a lot for all that encouraging word. You know, I've been looking at the idea of mindfulness, remembrance. I've been thinking about remembrance. I'll tell you when I don't think about it in a positive sense is when I don't feel well, or if I'm sick, or I get a phone call and it's a discouraging phone call And someone on the other line, I want to be able to say, oh, please, just, and they can't go any further because they're not going the way I want them to. And all of a sudden, I start to remember, that's a niece or that's a nephew. Lord, I want to feel better. I want to be well. Lord, I need this in my life. I'm struggling in a financial sense. And I start to think, Lord, I remember what happened before, how you met my need here, but Lord, now I'm not so sure. And I struggle with the idea of memory and remembering what God will do. You know, I think that God, as far as God is concerned, I think he's a very faithful God. And he is a God that remembers and will never let memory out of his intelligence and out of the omniscient ability to think everything through. I don't fear that, but in my flesh, I do. I was looking at something, and I don't know how long I've had this. I've never used this, but I just want to use it just for a minute. I start thinking about God and his memory. And I start thinking about when God says, he says, I want you to consider the sparrow. And I want you to consider that the sparrow, it's little. And he says that you can take 5 sparrows and you can buy them for 2 farthings. Have you ever thought about that? And I'm thinking to myself, if I can buy this sparrow for 2 farthings or a farthing, and this one for these 2 for a farthing, how did I get the 5th one in the middle? It's almost like there is a middle sparrow that nobody thinks about. They just throw it into the box. Hey, you want to buy the 5? Okay, here's 2 and 2. It's perfect. Here's the 5th one. It's just all yours. The Bible says that God knows the sparrow. And he knows the sparrow, where it is and what it is. And even though it is so small, and it is probably the least of most and all birds, to God, the sparrow is still very mindful and in his mind. Thank you, because Lord, I need to know that. I need to know that when I feel just the enemy is ravaging my thoughts and fear wants to overtake, or I'm standing in a place that I don't know the answer and can't get out of it, I begin to realize that, you know what? I am worth more than many sparrows. Say value. I am worth more than many sparrows to God. And what is God saying? He says, if a sparrow cannot even but fall to the earth, and I see where it is, and I know where it is, and my thoughts and my memory can remember where it fell, do you not know, son, that you are worth more than many sparrows to me? Amen. This is what I was going to tell you. I keep things in notes just because I know someday I might need them for something. And I was looking at this, and I got this from Juanita DeAnda. And Juanita probably doesn't even remember this. I mean, it was about 57 years ago, and no, I'm kidding, Juanita. And she loves to give me things periodically. She gets in the mail, usually about Israel. So she gave this to me, and it was up on the little pony wall going into my office. And so when I saw it, I kept it, and I just stuffed it away. Recently, I saw it again, and I started looking at it. I wish you could see this picture. I know you can't. You just know that there's something 6x12 in my hand. That's all you can tell. But you know, this is an amazing picture if you can see it. Can anybody make out what it is? Huh? People. What's interesting is that here are Jews. And some are in prison clothes, and you can tell that they are not in their finest. And they're it's like must be a huge courtyard. Perhaps it's at a train depot. And you can see all of these. And as you look in depth, I mean, there are hundreds of Jewish people. And in the foreground, you can see like here and here. And over here, you see the SS. And they're standing, looking out over the myriad of the people. And they're keeping crowd order. And they probably are at a train depot, preparing to take the people to their next rendezvous. Any idea what that was? I'm going to put my finger on it right here. In the entire picture, everything is black and white, except for that. Do you know what that is? That is a little girl. She's about 12 years old, and she's dressed in a red coat and a red hat. And she's standing on the front of the line, just like, I don't know what's happening, but I'm here. And you might think, well, what's that got to do with anything? Let me tell you what it's got to do with. When I look at this, it's an amazing, because right here next to her are just two words. And it says, never again. Never again. And so I look at this picture and I go, never again. What am I saying? It's this myriad, the sea of Jewish people, and they're being herded in by the SS, and they're probably going to be on the next train coming through. But this little girl in a red coat, she's standing there so pretty, but it says, never again. And my mind, I just start to think in remembrance. My mind takes me back, and I start to see what they did under the SS, and what the mind and the heart of such a wicked man was, knowing his name Hitler. And I can go back in history and see all of the history there. And I remember this, and I remember that. I remember Buchenwald, and all the different places, Ravenhill. And I'm thinking to myself, oh God. Let me tell you what God's doing. I personally believe they were still fulfilling how they had not served God from Jerusalem, and God scattered them upon the entire earth. How many know that? And they were scattered for nearly 2,000 years. And God began to remember, say remember. Remember. He began to remember his people. And he began to have a mind full of my people. These are my people. And I can only imagine what God is thinking here, because I know what I thought. On the back, it's almost the same thing. Can you see this picture? The crowd is lighter in the background, but right out on the forefront is like about 11 or 10 or 11 year old boy. And he's standing there, and you know how they do, and they can do this in photography. They can make their photography in color when everything's black and white. And here's the little boy. He's got his ragged cutoffs on and clear down to his sandals. And he's standing there with his coat and his little hat, and the Star of David in yellow is on his chest. And I'm thinking to myself, never again. That's what these people are thinking. That's what the Jewish nation did. You know what's amazing? Isaiah said this. Isaiah said the day will come that God will speak. And when he speaks, he says, know this. How can it be that a nation can be born in a day? But he says it will happen. And that's exactly what happened on May the 14th, 1948, is that God brought the nation of Israel back in the land of Palestine, the land of Jewry, and he brought them back as a nation, never again, never again. And I'm thinking, this is amazing, because when you start thinking about what God thinks and the economy of God, he's got it all covered. He remembers where it comes from. He remembers how it's happening today. And he remembers what it'll be tomorrow. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And I just want to somehow help you to wiggle your way, if you can, into these thought patterns of mine this morning. And I want you to know that God remembered. He remembered, literally, Noah. And he wouldn't abandon him. They would have all been destroyed had God said, who cares? But God cares, because he remembers what he has started. He will finish. You know what's interesting is in Genesis 30, say 30. It's interesting because also the Bible says that God remembered somebody else. He remembered Rachel. And Rachel was without child. Her sister has already had six, seven was going to be coming soon. And she has none. And for a Jewish mother, that is unbelievable. That is such a blight upon her life. And the Bible says that God remembered Rachel. And there are three verbs in that verse. Genesis 30, verse 22. The first verb is that he remembered. And the second is that he listened. And the third verb is that he opened her womb and she conceived. Look this way. Did you know that before you were ever conscious this morning, God remembered you? Literally. And he remembered what he had a plan for today. And he remembers that plan. And somehow, as you slipped and slided and all those things to get into church, he wanted you here because he had a plan for your life. You know, I remember somebody else in the book of Genesis. The Bible says literally that this person, he was in a place that he totally left his mind. And for 2 years, it left his mind that something had been said to him. And so he came back. I'll just pick this up. And he went back being the cup holder, the server of the wine to the Pharaoh, the butler. And the butler had said to Joseph, he said, I will remember you. But he didn't remember. How many know that? Yeah. Only when the king, Pharaoh, everybody and all of those astute and all of those that serve Pharaoh, none of them could answer his vision. None of them could answer the dream. And he says, this is what I've dreamt. And he says, I need somebody. He went to his magicians, his wise men, his leaders, all the men of his kingdom that had any kind of wisdom. Nobody could answer. Finally, all of a sudden, bingo, in the mind of the butler, no doubt he felt guilty. But he remembered Joseph. And he said, O king, live forever. There is a Hebrew young man. And he says, I remember when I and the baker, we were at odds with you. You took his life in judgment and you spared mine. And he said, this young man told us everything that we needed to know and it come to pass. You know, I use this as an illustration, but I just want you to know that when God works on your memory, it's his will that it's 2020. And he wants you to know that when he speaks, everything he says in your thought patterns, in your mindfulness of memory, it will come to pass. The devil will lie to you. He'll confuse you. He'll deceive you. He'll do everything for you to believe that what you're thinking can't happen. But God says, if it's in my word and you can sense by your spirit that I'm speaking to you, it shall come to pass. Amen? Can you imagine, honestly, when the butler saw Joseph for the first time in 2 years? And he sees, this is how I think it probably happened. And he sees several very large Egyptian guards are bringing him out into the palace rotunda, into the palace area, and he sees Joseph coming. This is what I think. I don't think he's thinking, man, he looks good. Well, he's been eating well in the prison house. I don't think that's what he's thinking at all. I think this is what he's thinking. I remember when I forgot him. But now I remember. And Joseph stands before the Pharaoh, literally. And this is what Joseph says. He says, O king, live forever, if you can. But he says, I cannot do this. Only God can do this. And so what you have dreamed, and your memory can't bring it back, I can't remember it either, because I don't know. But I serve a God that knows and lives in the entire world of memory. In fact, let me tell you where God lives. God lives in the memory that your name has either been placed in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, or it has not. If your name has not been placed in the book of life and been born again, you need to do it before this service is over. May I tell you something about your hair? I just got my hair cut last night. I've got a beautiful, beautiful beautician that works on my hair. Would you like to know who she is? It's my wife. I know what you're thinking. Like, Pastor, you should not be looking at beauticians that way. Well, I do this one because she's in the mirror. I'm looking at her doing everything. And I tell her, oh, you missed one over there. Oh, you missed two. She's fantastic. The Bible says that God knows every hair on your head. And should some fall out, like some of you have had that problem, did you know that God remembers every hair on your head? Whoa. I'm saying that's amazing. The devotional writer, Samuel Gordon. I don't know if you've ever heard of Samuel Gordon, but when I tell you a short story like this, listen closely. Don't ever forget it. Samuel Gordon knew of a woman who had memorized much of the Bible. And her old age, it began to take her memory from her. At last, old age, she could only remember one verse in Scripture. So in other words, this little lady through life had learned a lot of Scripture. When she began to have a problem with her memory, she now was to the place she could only remember one verse. The verse was 2 Timothy 1:12. And here's what it said. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. Amen. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him unto that day. Whoa. In time, she began to lose that verse too. Only being able to record it, remember a portion of 2 Timothy 1:12. And here were the five words she can now remember. What I have committed to him. That's all she could remember out of all the scriptures she had memorized. When she came to her deathbed, her loved ones noticed her lips were moving. And so bending low, they heard her repeating something. And they realized that it was one solitary word. It was over and over and over again, that solitary word. And this is the word they heard her say. Him. 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 For this reason, I also suffer. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and that he is able to keep what I've committed to him unto that day. You know what's so amazing? It was noted that she had lost the entire Bible. But what's so amazing is that the Bible came back to her because she could remember him. Him. And this is what Paul was speaking in Timothy. It was Christ. Him. Him. Is that not amazing? The power of our memory to remember those things that are so important. I asked Sharon this morning to sing again The Goodness of God. I don't know about you, but that's not in my top 10. That's like in my top 3. I love the goodness of God. And this is the part that I love. I need my memory to work here. That's it. All my life, how's it go? You have been faithful. All my life, you have been faithful. How many remember that part in that song? And you know, I mean, there's different parts of it I really enjoy. But when I get to that part, and some the worship team sings, all my life, you have been so faithful. It's just almost like automatically my hands go up, and all of a sudden my eyes close, and I start thinking back even as far back as a child and a teenager and walking through life and all my life, you have been so faithful. And I can't escape it. I can't get away from it because I realize how faithful he's been to me. And I thank God for the power of our memory. You know what? Sometimes our memories become so polluted, and sometimes they become so polluted they move even our conscience into a place of separating ourselves from God. But in the power of our memory, when God can come and begin to say, remember how I taught you. Remember what I've done for you. Why do you think in Deuteronomy it says to the father or to the parents of a home, it says that you are to take your children and you're to teach your children in all their ways. Teach them of me. Teach them when they're lying down and when they're sitting up, when they're walking, when they're whatever they're doing. But teach them my way. You know why? Because he wants his words flowing through the chemistry of our heart and our mind. Hallelujah. You know, I've heard this expression. It's something like this that says, it's about a nation. And it says that if a nation doesn't, how does it go? If a nation doesn't remember where it has been, it will repeat the very things that it's going to do again. If we do not remember where we've come from, who will we ever be? And you know, right now, that's one of our biggest challenges in our nation. There are those that have bought into the lies of the things that are in this land, and now we no longer remember where our roots come from or where the roots have been of the kind of nation we are. We don't remember the price that's been paid. And I think to myself, can you imagine the price that was paid in the various world wars? And now today, we could care less. Let's give it away. No. Aren't you glad for the power of memory? Yes. I am. The Bible says in Genesis 19, and God remembered Abraham. Say that with me. Remembered Abraham. And Abraham stood alone. And as he stood looking out over the terrain, he knew that the hills, and he knew it fell then down into the plains of Sodom. And all of a sudden, Abraham began to see huge flames rise up. I mean, my estimation, it was probably like nuclear. And it just rose up off the Sodom and Gomorrah deserts and floor. And they continued to rise because the word of the angels was true, that God is going to destroy this place. I think we know why. I think we understand why, because we can go back in memory and discover how sin was reigning and God hated the sin that was there. But you know what? In chapter 19, it says God remembered Noah. Abraham. Do you know why? It says he remembered Abraham, and then it tells you why. Because he delivered Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. That's pretty powerful. You know what today? I know that God remembers my children. He remembers my grandchildren. He remembers those who I care about and I love. Every morning I try to pray for my sons, their families, my grandchildren. I try to pray for those that are in my family in an immediate sense, brothers and sisters and so on. It says, God remembered Abraham. He was greatly mindful of Abraham. And he sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. I believe that God is mindful of you today. And he knows exactly where your family is, exactly where your son and daughter are, exactly where your niece and nephew are, where your two brothers are, or your three sisters. He knows exactly where our families are. And he's mindful of us. He remembers. He remembers when we have cried out to him. He remembers when we have asked him. And God has said, yes, I will do. You know, I want to tell you, I don't think around the cross that day they had any idea what was happening. But the translation from earth and Calvary into paradise, they had no idea of the authoritative voice that was preparing to speak. And when one of the thieves said to him, they said, Lord, would you remember me? Would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? You remember that? You know what? He could have said, man, I haven't had a chance to get baptized. I haven't for years been down to the local sanctuary. I haven't been able to listen to the rabbi. Lord, you know what kind of guy I really am. It wasn't anything like that. There was something in his heart he knew. There was something different about Jesus. And Jesus had the power to live in the present, the now, and the future. And he had the authority over everything. And he said to him, he didn't use the words, if you get a chance, maybe, just maybe, write my name down and let's see what happens. It wasn't that at all. He said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, would you remember me? When I step into his kingdom, this is what's the most important thing, is that he remembers me. I don't need the angels to remember me. I need them just to dance and rejoice. I need Jesus to remember me. How do you remember something if it didn't happen? How do you remember something if there's not been memories? If you have not spent time with the Lord or in his presence, if you have not made purposeful obligation and time to be with him in word and thought and heart, how does he remember? I want him to remember me. Lord, and remember me when you come into your kingdom. Don't forget me. And so when they saw her laying there, and her family all knew what a godly woman she was, she had read and memorized much of Scripture. Now it all boiled down to one thing. She had only one word left in her memory bank. It was him. Timothy. It was him. And that's all she could remember. It was him. And you know what's amazing? Is that's all she needed. That's all she needs. Is him. Is Jesus. Amen. I'll close with this. I wanted to share that story with you, but I want to close with this last story. It was a young man. And from a boy, he grew up. And his mother was a praying mother. And as she prayed for her son, she realized he was getting worse. And in the midst of all, he began to drink. He had a godly mother that prayed and a father that was a drunkard. He chose the road of least resistance, no doubt. And he continued to drink and drink. Now he got old enough to where he could leave. And he said to his mother, he said, I'm leaving. He said, I've got everything I want. And he said, I'm going to go and find out what's out there in life. And she said to him, she said, son, she said, I'm going to just tell you this. She said, I want you never to forget. I want you always to remember that at 8 o'clock, every night I will be kneeling by your bed and I will be praying for you. He kissed her and he was gone. Year after year went by, lived in sin, drugs, criminal, thievery, theft, terrible, terrible things. He found the worst of the bottom. One day he is in confrontation with a man, and this is a true story. He took out a gun, and he held the gun at the guy, and he realized, do I do this or not? I've never killed a man. And he said, I will. And he took and he pulled the trigger. And as he pulled the trigger, he realized that the gun did not go off. True story. Somehow, several that were in the room, they got close to him and they knocked the gun out of his hand, went flying across the floor. And as he did, he just realized, as he looked down, he realized on his watch that it was 8 o'clock and that his mother would have been praying by his bed. True story. He still was not in a place, even though he remembered that this was what God was doing through his mother. He took and he continued to live in sin. He wasted everything, if you can imagine, like the prodigal. He wasted everything. He had no hope. Finally, one day, he says, I have to go. And he went back home to his mother. And as he was walking up the sidewalk and up the steps, he knocked on the door so politely, and his mother opened the door. And she saw her son. And she grabbed her son and she pulled him to her. Grabbed him and pulled him into the house and said, I've been praying for you every day at 8 o'clock. I've been praying for you 8 o'clock at night. He says, Mother, is there still hope for me? And she says, let me tell you what Isaiah says. She says, I read this over you. And she says, Isaiah said this, that though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. That's the faithfulness of God. He took and he knelt with his mother and he prayed through and he wept before God and he was gloriously born again. Every night at 8 o'clock had brought him to this place of being born again. What was interesting in true life, this is the real story, is that he took all of his skills and he turned them into good skills. All of his gambling, all of his everything, and just even the, I don't know how he turned gambling into, but he turned everything into good skills. And the next thing in history, he was making money just hand over left. He took and gave 75% of everything that he made back to God. Finally, one day, God spoke to him, and he says, I want you to go on the radio, and I want you to tell the people who will listen to you of how you were saved and you were delivered by my power. And he did. He went on the radio and his life, and he told them how he had been saved and delivered and how God had done it. And people were being saved, and he was a tremendous man. Later, he was a preacher of righteousness, and during that era when there were tremendous preachers preaching on the radio and going from kind of place to place. I tell you that story because I wanted you to remember. I wanted you to remember that he was told, remember. Never forget that I'm praying for you at 8 o'clock every night. And when that gun did not go off at 8 o'clock sharp, he realized, looking at his watch, that his mother was praying for him. And I want you to know that God today has a memory, and his memory bank is not too short for us. He remembers us. Do you believe that? He knows where we've been. He knows what we're going through. He knows all of our challenges in life. He remembers how we have spoken the words of service to him and love for him. He remembers it all. And he says to us, all right, just don't forget what I've told you. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will always be made white as snow if you trust me, if you believe me. Amen. Bow your heads with me, please. It's interesting that the Father every day remembered his son that was the prodigal. And every day he went out and stood at the edge of his field, at the road, looking for his prodigal son to return. Every morning he would get up and he would remember, I've got a son that I'm praying for. For 2,000 years, nearly, Israel felt like God had abandoned them and would never reel them back in until the 14th of May, 1948. And God, in one day, brought Israel back to become a nation. And they have been a nation now for nearly 75 years. God remembers his promises. Lord, do you really remember your promises? The promises that you said that these are the signs that will follow them that believe? Here's my opinion. Yes, he remembers. You lay hands upon the sick. You will speak with new tongues. Just go on in that whole passage of Mark. God remembers. He remembers what he has said to you in the last few nights. He'll never forget it. Believe it. Take it to the bank. I just want to encourage you tonight that when God saw Noah and he remembered Noah, he knew what to do and he knew how to take care of him. He remembered Abraham. He remembered Rachel. And we can go on and on and on of all of those that he's remembered. He remembers our church. He remembers your family. He remembers your love for him. You can take it to the bank. How faithful God is. Have you ever remembered God touching you in church and tears began to flow? And you began to feel a brokenness inside. Not a bad brokenness, but just like a broken and contrite heart. And you've never felt that for maybe months or even years. Remember that again. God has that power to do so this morning. He does. If you not think this is silly, and I know sometimes when I ask for altars, we kind of all have other ideas. But what would happen if we came to the altar and remembered why we're here? Because we're remembering what God has done to us through the years at this altar and how he has touched us and blessed us and moved upon us and answered our prayers. Would you consider that? Rise, stand with me. I would like for every person to step out. Don't evaluate this. Just step out and come and stand all across this altar and just say, Lord, I do remember the pastor's what he said. I can remember altar times when I have felt your presence so strong. I remember altar times when I had answers to prayer that I didn't think could be answered. I remember being an altar once, Lord, specifically, and I asked you for one miracle and you gave it to me. That's why I'm back again. Would you come? Church, come, all of us. Come and come to this altar, the altar of the Lord. And would you remember who is meeting you here? If this is an appointment, it's a divine appointment. And he wants to meet you here right now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, how we love you this morning. Blessed is our God. Just come right on in so others can get behind you. Father, I love you. I think that we sometimes ought to remember what God wanted to do in this church 20 years ago, 15 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, 3 months ago. What was it he was saying to us he wanted to do here? Let's remember that and let's submit. Let's allow him, oh, to have his way in the midst of us. Praise God. Do you remember that you are a blood-bought and a blood-washed people? Do you remember that? Do you remember that His Spirit lives in you? Do you remember that? Do you remember also that He has the power and desires to take and baptize us, each one in the Spirit? Do you remember this? Lord, we practice because we believe. Lord, we perform our hearts before You because we know. And we ask You to do great things in us this morning, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, if you not take and feel like I'm being a heavy, I want you to lift up holy hands to the Lord.